All right, we started discussing yesterday. We started Perek HaChovel, and the first Amud, at least, of Perek HaChovel, or actually the first Amud of today's Daf, and the second half of, and most of yesterday's Amud as well, deals with how we know that Ayin Tachas Ayin really means you pay money, and not that you actually take out the guy's eye in exchange for knocking out someone's eye. So the Gemara yesterday, that we did yesterday, had quoted one possible source for it. So the Gemara says, it says Maka Adam u Maka Behema. So we link Maka Adam to Maka Behema. Just like when you're Maka Behema, you pay money, so to Maka Adam, you pay money. And then the Gemara had said, and if you don't like that one, then Im Nafshach Lomar, there's another pasuk, Lo Sikhu Kofer L'Nefesh Rotzeach Asher Hu Rasha Lamus. So we darshan L'Nefesh Rotzeach Yata Lokeach Kofer. You don't take money in exchange for killing somebody, Avalat Lokeach Kofer L'Rasha Evarim Shein Chazrin. But you do take money for Rasha Evarim when you knock out someone's eye, when you hurt a person in a way that he's not going to get healed from that wound, so you do take money. So that's how we know that Ayin Tachas Ayin is not mamish, that you pay. So those were two sources we quoted yesterday. So Frecht, the Gemara, we're still in the middle of the discussion, the back and forth. We are up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is the sixth medium-sized line. So Frecht, the Gemara, V'haylo sikhu kofel nefesh rotzeach l'mutei rashi avar muda asa. Does that pasuk of L'sichu Kofel L'Nefesh Rotzeach really come to exclude a case of Rashi Evarim where you knock out someone's eye, that you pay money rather than getting your own eye knocked out? Hami Bailei, we already need that pasuk to teach us something else. Dam Rachmana Losav Beitarti, L'sichu Mine Mamon V'tiktalei. Don't we use that pasuk to teach me that you don't give a double punishment? You wouldn't kill a guy and make him pay money. So says the Gemara, no, I don't need that pasuk to teach me that you don't both kill a guy and make him pay money. Because, hi, mikdei rishaso nafka. We learn that from the pasuk of kdei rishaso, risha achasata mechayv, viyata mechayv, shtei rishoyos. That's the famous halach of kamle bidraba minei. That if a guy is chayv, two punishments, you're only going to give him mishum risha achas, you're only going to be mechayv him one of the punishments, not both of the punishments, only the more severe of the two punishments. So, frekta Gemara, vakatimi bayilei, dekam rachmano lo sishkol mamon, vitifterei, but don't I still need the pasuk to teach me that you shouldn't just take money and let him off the hook beyond that? If that's all the pasuk was teaching me, then it should have said L'sichu kofer l'asher hu L'nefesh rotzeach lamali. What does the phrase L'nefesh rotzeach come to add? Shema mina L'nefesh rotzeach yata lokeach kofer. That's why it comes to teach me that extra din that you don't take money for someone who has killed somebody. Avlata lokeach kofer l'rashi varm shen chazrin. But you do take money for someone who has wounded someone in a way that he's not going to get healed. Okay, so we gave two sources for the idea that ayin tachas ayin means you pay money and not that you actually knock out the guy's eye. But once we have the puzzle of L'sichu Kofer, why do I need the first source of Maka Maka, the link between Maka Adam and Maka Behema? So Amri, imehai havamina ibay enu nesav, ibay dmei enu nesav. Now, had it been for only Maka Maka, I would have thought that you have the option. You can either have your eye knocked out, or pay the money for the eye. That we give you the option, whatever you prefer. So kamash malan mi behema. That's why we have the pasuk from Maka Adam Maka Behema to tell me that we treat it just like when you damage the animal. Ma Maka Behema l'tashlumin, af Maka Adam l'tashlumin. Just like by a behema you pay, so too by Maka Adam you only pay. There's no such thing as knocking out the guy's eye. So really, what sounded like two separate sources for Mamon, for Ayin Tachas Ayin meaning Mamon, was really, we needed both of them. So it's really only one major source for Ayin Tachas Ayin being Mamon. Now the rest, but again, the next Amud is all going to be dedicated to finding more sources that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon. Apparently the Gemara was very serious about documenting that Ayin Tachas Ayin has to mean Mamon. As we know, this was a very sensitive topic. The Rambam writes that you should know Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon, and that's always the way Batei Din have dealt with it from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua and Shmuel. There was never even a Hava Amina that Ayin Tachas Ayin means anything other than Mamon. The Rambam seems to get very defensive, and the reason he does so is because this was a major issue between us and the Karaites. The Karaites believed Ayin Tachas Ayin literally meant Ayin Tachas Ayin, that you get an eye knocked out. In fact, the Ibn Ezra, on the pasuk of Ayin Tachas Ayin in Parshas Mishpatim, So Ibn Ezra records a debate between Rav Sadia Gaon and a certain Karaite, and he says, "Amar Rav Sadia lo nuchal lefarish zeh pasuk kemashmao." Rav Sadia says, "You can't explain this pasuk as it's pasuk pshat. Ki im adam hika ein chaveru v'sara shlishis or einav." Because let's say, for instance, one guy hits the other guy in his eye and he takes away a third of his eyesight. The guy can still see, but his eyesight is one third ruined. So how are you going to get him back now? You really think you're going to be able to hit him in a way where you'll ruin one third of his eyesight and not a quarter and not 50%? And it's impossible. So maybe you're going to blind him totally. And forget about ayin tachas ayin. What about the pasuk goes on to say kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas petza, chabur tachas chabur. An eye is one thing. You knock out an eye, you can knock out someone else's eye. But when you wound somebody in some other way, so you can really get it right on, that you can get exactly what he did to the other person, it would be impossible. He says, and if, let's say, someone hurts somebody in another, in an area that's dangerous to hit somebody, he got lucky, he didn't kill the guy. But when they do it back to him, how do they know they're not going to kill him? Maybe they're going to kill him also. Veina das sovel, the Rav Sadia says, it just doesn't, the das can't be sovel, such an idea, we can't possibly imagine such an idea that the Torah would suggest that you literally do to him what he wants to do to the other guy. So Amalo Ben Zuta, the Ebenezer says, Ben Zuta says back to him, Valo Kasub Makamacha Kashar Yitin Mumba Adam Kenyi Nasin Bo. So pasuk, but another pasuk, Kashar Yitin Mumba Adam Kenyi Nasin Bo, that you wound someone else, we do the same to you. So Vagon Heshavlo Yeshlanu Beis Tachas Al, that Vine Taimo Ki Nasin Alav Onesh, that Ki Nasin Bo means that you give to him an Onesh, but not that you give to him, and they go back and forth. That he says, but Kasharasa Kenyi Asalo, that the same he does, so you do back to him. So Rav Sadia Gaon says, no, how do I know what Kasher Yasa Ken Yasa doesn't mean literally you do exactly what he did? Shimshon, what happens with Shimshon? He says, Kasher Asuli Ken Asisi Lahem. That Shimshon, if you know familiar with the story somewhat, so Shimshon married a Plishti woman. That was his big weakness. The Pasuk says, it sounds a little bit strange when you read the Pasuk about Shimshon with Plishti women. That you can imagine what his parents were going through. This, their parents were told before he's born, this kid's going to be a tzaddik, he's going to be the one that leads Klal Yisrael, he's going to be the savior, he's a nazir, from you have to treat him very carefully, he's a nazir from the day he's born, etc., etc. And then the kid grows up and all he wants to do is marry Plishti women. And his parents are obviously bitterly disappointed that he wants to go marry the Philistine women. So he goes up and he marries a Plishti woman, and he during the Sheva Brachas he says a riddle, and he says he challenges the Plishti men to come up with an answer to the riddle. Yeah. They can't come up with an answer to the riddle, so they bribe the wife into giving the answer. This was before his next wife gave him away, right? They bribe the wife into giving the answer. She gives the answer. They come back and they tell him the answer, and he says, obviously, she gave it away. And he was very upset, and he runs away. And while he's away, his father-in-law gives his wife to another man, gives his wife to a Plishti man. So he comes back after a while. He says, I want my wife back. Father-in-law says, you know what? Her younger sister, she's much prettier than her. Why don't you take the younger sister? He says, no, I want my wife back. And he says, sorry, I gave her to another man. So Shimshon ties up 300 foxes and pairs, ties up their tails to each other with torches in between their tails, and he lets them loose in the Plishti fields, and they burn down all the Plishti fields. If you tie foxes together with fire between their tails, they tend to go a little crazy. So they ran all over the place, and they burned down all the Plishti fields. And Shimshon's expression of what he did, of how he got them back, is he says, I have done to them, kasher asuli kena sisi lahem. Right? What they did to me, I did to them. Really? He gave away their wives to other men? So he didn't do anything of the sort. So says Rav Sadia Gaon, and you see that when the Tanakh uses such a phrase, that he does back what they did, it just means, I gave them a taste of their own medicine, but not literally that I do exactly what they did to me. Sayin tachas sayin doesn't mean, we should never understand, the Torah doesn't ever mean, when it says that you do exactly what he did, that it's literally exactly what he did. And the debate goes on. The Ibn Ezra records a whole long debate between Rav Sadia Gaon and one of these Karaites. It was a very sensitive issue, because there were people that believed that ayin tachas sayin meant literally. So we're going to quote another 8 drushos, 8 possible sources for how we know ayin tachas sayin means mammon. So let's plow through them now. So possible source number 2. four lines from the bottom of the page. Tanya, Rabbi Yisai ben Yehuda Omer, Ayin Tachsayin Mamon, Atomer Mamon, or Eino Ela Ayin Mamish. How do I know it's Mamon? Maybe it's literally knock out the guy's eye. Amri, Tare Shahaisa, Eino Shalzu Gdola, Eino Shalzu Ketana. Let's say one guy has a big eye, and the other guy has a small eye. Heichani Koriba Ayin Tachsayin. How could you do Ayin Tachsayin? Meaning it's not the same. I knock out his big eye, and I have smaller eyes. V'chitei Mekol Kiyai Shakel Minei Mamona HaTorah Amra Mishpat Echad Yelachem Mishpat HaShav L'Kulchem. And if you're going to say, okay, fine, in that case you'll pay money. But when you have equal size eyes, then you're not going to pay money, then you'll get your eye knocked out. No, that can't be, because it has to be the same din for everybody. You can't judge on a case-by-case basis and say, okay, this case he'll pay money for knocking out the eye, that case he'll get his eye knocked out. So says the Gemara, Amri, my Kushya, really, that's what bothered you? That if a guy has a smaller eye and he knocks out someone else's bigger eye? What do you mean? It's not the eye, the size of the eye, it's the eyesight. I took away his eyesight, so you'll take away my eyesight. Dilote mahachi, because if you don't say that, katan charges agadol. Let's say you have a 12-pound weakling that takes a gun and he shoots a massively well-built strong man. So, or v'gadol charges a katan, or vice versa. Hechi katlin alei. How can you kill him? HaTorah amra mishpatecha dielachem mishpatashav lekulchem. Don't you need it to be equal for everybody? And you're not taking away the same strength and the same power that he killed. No, but it doesn't matter. He took away a life, so we take away his life. It doesn't. You don't measure the koach that was behind it. So here as well, he took away his eyesight, so we take away his eyesight, and that's all. The havamin is very difficult to understand. What is that? A larger eye? Larger eye doesn't even. I mean, what does it even mean that his eye is bigger than the other guy's eye? So pashtus, and just based on the comparison that the Gemara gives, larger and smaller doesn't mean physically bigger and smaller, it means stronger and weaker. That someone has 20/15 eyesight and someone else has whatever, a much worse eyesight, needs glasses or something. So that's the Havamina, that if I ruined really good eyesight, I ruined the eyesight of whatever, a major league baseball hitter, so, you know, sees the ball all the way, and I have eyesight that's not so good, right? So that's the Havamina, that maybe then it's impossible to do to me what I wanted to do to him. And that's the comparison over here. The comparison is the strong guy and the weak guy, meaning it's how much koach is behind that life. It's how much koach is behind that eye that we're looking at. It's not the actual size per se. Okay, Tanya Idach, another third possible source for how we know that Ayin Tachas Ayin means money. Tanya Idach, Rabbi Shimon Yechai Omer Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamon. Atom Mamonu Ayin El Ayin Mamish. How do I know it's money? Maybe it's he'd knock out his eye. Harisha Yisuma V'Sime Kitea V'Kita Chiger V'Chiger Heichani Mekayim Is Ayin Tachas Ayin V'Atom Mishpat Echad Yelachem Mishpat Hashav L'Kulchem. What if someone is blind and knocks out somebody else's eye? So how are you going to do Ayin Tachas Ayin on him? He doesn't have any eyes, and he knocks out someone's eye. And we know that the punishment has to be equal to everybody. So if the punishment has to be the same for everybody, it can't work if you have a blind. If we're going to knock out someone's eye, because a blind person, you can't knock out his eye. There's nothing to knock out. So Amri, my kushya, why is that difficult? Maybe whenever it's possible to give the punishment, we give the punishment of knocking out his eye, and whenever it's not possible to give the punishment, so he gets off the hook. Dilote mach, because you have to say that anyway. Because if you don't say that, that's our attitude in general to giving punishments. What about the following case? Treifa shaharagas hashalim. What if you have a person who's a treifa? He's going to die within the next year anyway. He's deathly ill, and he goes and he kills a perfectly healthy person. So may have dinalei. What are you going to do to him? Meaning, his life isn't worth as much as the life that he took. Ela hechad de'efshar efshar, hechad de'lo'efshar lo'efshar, patrinalei. No, so when you could do something, you could do something. When you can't do something, you can't, and he's off the hook. Says Rashi, may have dinalei, hagavra katila hava, who, he's a gavra katila, he's a dead man walking anyway. Vavle edus shi'ata yochla zima, meaning, and the point is, that if I'm made, that this trefa killed a person, so what am I being made that we should kill this treifa? And but that's edus shi'ata yochel azima, because let's say I'm found to be an eid zomim after I'm made that this treifa killed somebody. So you want to do to me what I tried to do to him. But what did I try to do to him? I tried to take a dead man walking and turn him into a dead man in the grave, right, and get him killed right away. but I'm not a dead man walking, so you can't do that to me. I mean, it's impossible to carry out the kasher zamam because I'm simply not in that position. I'm not at the same starting point. I'm not a treifa. The edim are not treifos. So the edim shehet yachal azimuda imishtachi edim zamamin. If you find these people to be edim zamamin peturim, they're going to be pater. It's not that the treifa is going to be pater. If they're not found to be well, the gavri ketila ba'ol lemikvah because they tried to kill the gavri ketila vilkach ihunami pater, and that's why, meaning the starting point is not that the treifa is pater. Theoretically, the treifa should be chayiv if you have edim that saw the treifa kill somebody. The only thing is, because those edim are edus shi'ati yachal azima, you would never be able to do kasher zamam to those edim. Memela, their edus is invalid, and if their edus is invalid, you can't kill a treifa who kills somebody. And that's what the Gemara says in Eluin and Sofim Mesach Sanhedrin. So we find that that's in fact the halacha, that if you have edus that a treifa killed somebody, that edus by definition is invalid, and therefore we can't carry it out, we can't go and kill the treifa. So the same is true when a blind man knocks out someone else's eye. Just say the same thing. Really, technically, the halacha is when someone knocks out someone else's eye, we knock out his eye. It happens to be a blind man, we can't do that because he already doesn't have the eye, so he gets off the hook. Frechter b'kiveger, what's the dimion? How can you compare this to Edim Zomim with Edus Shiyat Yachal Azima? Frechter b'kiveger in the Gilui Nashas, Kashuli, kiven duhu Edus Shiyat Yachal Azima, lomikri Edus, by the Edus Shiyat Yachal Azima, by the treifa that kills, you simply don't have Edus. By definition, when you have edus that cannot become edim zomim, then by definition, it's not called edus. Va'amri shema be'emes lo harag. And if you don't have edus that the treifa killed the guy, then we always have to think maybe the treifa did not kill the guy. I mean, it makes us question the very metzius of what happened. If the only edus that the treifa killed the only edus you have that the treifa killed the guy is an edus shi'at yachal azima, that means you don't have edim. And if you don't have edim, we viter assume the treifa didn't kill a person. So that's the issue over there. Imkein, my prachinon, hashaber miskay mishpat echad. So then you certainly are allowing justice to prevail. Certainly mishpat echad. Anyone who kills a guy with valid edus, so he gets killed. Over here, it's not the issue at all. Over here, we have very strong edus that the suma killed somebody. It's not a kasha zanam issue, it's just that the punishment just doesn't apply to him. So it's a very stark kasha. Okay, so it's something to think about. He leaves it as a tzarachim. So says the Gemara Vayter. So now number four, fourth possible way that we know that it's mamon and not ayin tachsayin mamish. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Amar Kra Kain Yinasein Bo. Pasuk says Kain Yinasein Bo. Ve'ein Nesina Ela Mamon. Nesina always means money, right? Yinasein is the lashon of giving money. Ela Me'ata Kasher Yitein Mumba Adam Hachinami De Mamon. Who? So when it says Kasher Yitein Mumba Adam, is that also Mamon? Pasuk says Shever Tach Shever Ayin Tach Zayin Shein Tach Shein Kasher Yitein Mumba Adam Kain Yinasein Bo. So that's also Mamon. So I'm going to be very small. Kray Yisayir Darshi. We dash in the next pasuk. Michti Ksiv Asher Ki Yitein Mumba Amiso Kasher Asa Kain Yasein. So we already have a pasuk that says that when ishkiyitin mumba miso kasher asa kein yasalo. So kein yinasein bo lamali. Why do I need the kein yinasein bo at the end of the pasuk of ayin tachas ayin? So which is the pasuk after vishkiyitin mumba miso, right? So shema mina mamon. So therefore comes teach us that you pay mamon kashiyitin mumba adam lamali. What do I need kashiyitin mumba adam to teach me? I did by mitzvah kein yinasein bo because of nami kashiyitin mumba adam for parallel. For parallel's sake, once it says Kein Yinasein Bo, we write the Torah writes Kasher Yitein Mumba Adam as well. Fine, number five now. Dibei Rabbi Chiya Tana, Amar Kra Yad Biyad. Pasuk says Yad Biyad. What's the pasuk? Pasuk says Lo Sachos Eincha Nefesh B'Nefesh Ayin Ba'Ayin Shein B'Shein Yad Biyad Regel B'Regel. What are we darshin? Yad Biyad Dovra Nitein Miyad Biyad. The Yad Biyad means something that's handed over from one hand to another. What's that? Money. Umayniyu mamon. Elameyatza. So, frankly, really, that's how you understand yad biyad? Something that gets handed over from one hand to the other? Elameyatza. Regel beregel. Nami hachihu. So then, what's regel beregel? Soccer ball? I mean, how are you going to translate that line in the pasuk? Something that's handed from
foot to foot. So Amri Dibir Rebbe Chia, Kray Yisei Rekadashi. No, we dash in the extra words in the Pasuk. Michti, Ksiv, the Torah already says, Vasi Sinol Kasher Zamam Nasos La'achiv, that there is a din of Kasher Zamam, that when people become Edim Zamamin, you do to them what they wanted to do to the guy. Isal Kadaitach Mamish. So if you understand Mamish Yad B'Yad Lamali, so why do I need Yad B'Yad? Shemamina Mamon. So we see from there that it's teaching me Mamon. Regal B'Regal Lamali, then what does Regal B'Regal come to teach me? I need the Kasav Yad B'Yad, Kasav Nami, Regal B'Regal. Yeah, once it says Yad B'Yad, it teaches me Regal B'Regal, meaning the Pasuk Yad B'Yad is by Eid Zomim. So and it comes to teach me that if I made about a person that he cut off someone else's hand, that you pay money instead of doing, meaning the Kasher Zomim on that is not literal. We don't literally cut off his hand because he tried to... that he was trying to cut off somebody else's head. No, because all he was trying to be mechayev him was mamon. So that's all. So you're only going to be mechayev him mamon. Abayi Amar, so Abayi says, number six now. Asya midi tanin de bechizkiya. We darshan from tanin de bechizkiya, the sixth possible way to know that ayin tachas ayin is mamon. De tanin de bechizkiya, ayin tachas ayin, nefesh tachas nefesh. Velo nefesh v'ayin tachas ayin. But you're never allowed to kill a person because he knocked out someone's eye. V'yisal kadai tach mamash. But if we hold that you're supposed to knock out someone's eye when he knocks out another person's eye, zimnin de mishkachas ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. Sometimes, if you try it too often, sometimes when you knock out a person's eye, you will kill a person. So since we have a rule that you're not allowed to kill a person for knocking out someone's eye, it can't be literal, because by trying to knock out his eye, you're going to kill him very often. As you blind him, you're going to end up killing him. Now, how do you know that that's the case? Maybe what we do is we try to get a medical evaluation before we implement any punishment. Reuven knocks out Shimon's eye. So what do? We send Reuven to a doctor, and the doctor has to advise us. If we knock out Reuven's eye, will he die? Is he strong enough to handle it or not? And if he's strong enough to handle it, we do it. To handle it and not die, we do it. And if he's not, so we don't do it. The Amdina, the Matzi Mekabel, look, and if we evaluate that he's able to handle it and he dies accidentally anyway, so he died. Milo Tanangabi Malkus, don't we do the same thing when it comes to Malkus? Right, if a person's chayav Malkus, you're not supposed to kill him. So you have to get him a medical evaluation and see that he's not going to die from the amount of lashes you're gonna give him. But if they evaluate that he can handle 28 malkios, or whatever, 27, pick a multiple of 3, because that's what it's supposed to be, 27 malkios, and you hit him 27 times and he dies, so you followed what the doctor said. You're not going to be chayiv for hitting him. So over here as well. So Rav Zvid Mishmei, now number 7, seventh possible way. We rejected most of them, if you notice. Rav Zvid Mishmei, the Rabba Amar, Amakra Petza Tachas Petza, Litein Tsar B'makom Nezek. And that teaches us that when you pay nezek, when you pay for damages, sometimes you pay for you not only pay for damages, you pay for the tsar experienced as well. But if we're going to knock out the guy's eye, so why should he pay for tsar? He's getting tsar back. He's experiencing the same tsar. So why should he have to pay for any tsar? He's experiencing it himself. So my question, no, how do you know? Maybe the tsar that I caused the other person is greater than the tsar that they're causing me. Maybe I'm more of a tough guy, and I can handle the pain better than he can. And therefore, maybe the entire tsar payment is only the difference between the tsar that I experienced when he knocked out my eye and the tsar that he experienced when I knocked out his eye. But you know, Chinami, you would knock out my eye, and yeah, most of the tsar would be covered by the tsar that I experienced when you go and you knock out my eye. It's interesting because it views the tsar payment as not reimbursement for the tsar, but revenge. You know, meaning one could argue, I don't care that you're getting hurt. It hurt me when you did this to me. It doesn't help me that that you're getting hurt. So it's a question of what exactly the. So we're assuming if Ayin Tach Zayin is literal, then the point is just to punish the guy rather than to reimburse the person who suffered in the tsar as well, that we're not reimbursing the tsar. But anyway, okay, Rav Papa Mishra, it's just that there's no other way to take the revenge when we're not going to knock out a zayi other than to reimburse him, because where are you going to give the money? I mean, it's really a penalty when we're making him pay the money. Once he's paying the money, you might as well cover both ends and reimburse him also. But primarily, it's an issue of revenge. This is what it sounds like, just thinking out loud. Number 8, Rav Papmash made the Rav Amar Amar Krav Rapo Yirape. This is going to be tomorrow's discussion. Tomorrow's daf is the big daf about doctors. How we know doctors, you're allowed to, should you go to doctors? Should you not go to doctors? Okay, Rapo Yirape, you should. But okay, we'll get to it. Rapo Yirape. Litein Rafua Bimakom Nezek. So that comes to teach me that you pay for Rafua even if you paid for Nezek. But wait a second. If you're going to knock out his eye for knocking out the other guy's eye, so just like he has medical bills, I got medical bills too now. So my question, maybe I heal more quickly than my victim does, and therefore, maybe I have to pay the difference between my doctor's bills and his doctor's bills, but that's all it is. And finally, Rav Ashi Amar, number 9, Asya Tachas Tachas Mishor. Ksiv hacha ayin tachas ayin uksiv hasam shalem yishalem shor tachas hashor. So we learn from the word tachas from shor that the word tachas is used by shor as well. Malalon mamon, just like by shor, it's definitely an issue of mamon. Afkan mamon of here also, it's an issue of mamon. My chazas dialav to tachas mishor neilav tachas miadam. Well, how do I know to learn tachas from shor? Maybe I should learn tachas from adam. Dichsiv nasat nefesh tachas nefesh. And by Adam, we know it means literally, I kill somebody, I'm chayiv misa. So maybe I should learn ayin tachas ayin from nefesh tachas nefesh, which teaches me that we do it literally. So maybe I should say that you are literally chayiv to get your eye knocked out if you knock out someone else's eye. So says Gemara, no, amri, dan nizakin mi nizakin, vein dan nizakin mi misa. We'd rather learn a case of damage from another case of damage, like shor, rather than learn from a case of misa, which is nefesh tachas nefesh. Maybe it's better to learn a case of Adam e Adam rather than a case of Adam me behema. Maybe if I'm going to compare the tachas to anything, I would want to compare it to another case where the victim is a human being, as opposed to a case where the victim is an animal. So, and therefore, it should be literal. Ella Maravashi, mitachas asherina, yelofle Adam e Adam, minizakim minizakim. From tachas asherina, we learn Adam e Adam. And Nizakin bin Nizakin. So that's how we know that in fact you are chayiv only mamon. So Tanya Reb Lozer Omer. So Reb Lozer comes in after this whole discussion, all these 9 different ways of telling me that it definitely means mamon. Reb Lozer Omer, ayin tachasayin mamish. By the way, ayin tachasayin is literal. If you knock out someone's eye, your eye gets knocked out. So Frek the Gemara, mamish salkadaitach. What? Someone holds that. Then you're going to knock out his eye. Reb Lozer, let's say, call on me tonight. What Reb Lozer disagrees with all these other Tanaim and Amorayim that we just quoted. So what? Reb Lozer is not allowed to disagree. So since when is his opinion, does his opinion not count? No, he's a Tana too. Why is he not allowed to have his own opinion? So Maritz Chayes over here points out, very important Maritz Chayes. He writes, let me just find it over here. Maritz Chayes says, Nir be'enai, ayin Rambam perakal milchus choval halachavav, shekasav, the Rambam, and we quoted this Rambam before, writes, afal pi shedvar melu nir me'inyan Torah shebechsav, v'kul mefroshen hen mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, kulan halacha l'maise b'yadeinu, even though it seems from the Torah shebechsav, ayin tachas ayin means literal, and things like that, there are certain things that we have from Moshe, from when he got it at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us pshat in these psukim, that pshat in the pasuk is not to be taken literally, and we know only through a mesorah, and it's always been in our mesorah that we know what it means. And ukazari inu dan bebezin shal Yeshua, ubebezin shal Shmuel Aramasi, this was the bezin of Yeshua dealt this way, this was the bezin of Shmuel, ayin sham. And the Rambam writes very similarly in the Akhtama to the Perisha Mishnah, shebevadai hoysa halacha misinai de priyat hadar hainu esrog, that you don't need drushas to tell me priyat hadar means esrog. It's obviously halacha l'moshe misinai that the words priyat hadar mean esrog. V'lo ra'inu v'shamanu mechacham echad sheyachshir tapuach o pilpulinu chadoma. You'll never find a rabbi anywhere in our Masorah that says, you know what? Maybe it's an apple. That Priyat Sadr is an apple. No way! It's a Masorah. We have it from all the way back to Har Sinai. Rak b'shas tikru chakru limso gamkein asmachta b'kasav. He says, all the Gemara tries to do, when you find that the Gemara struggles to say, where do I know ayin tachas ayin means money and not literally? How do I know Priyat Sadr means esrog? All it's trying to do is find an asmachta in the pasuk. The Gemara never really entertains the possibility that it means anything but ayin tachzayin means anything but mamon, or that priyat hadar means anything but esro. Kamahada shadar b'ilano, so it finds an asmachta from a pasuk kadoma ayin sham v'chein kan bevada hesalacha misinai rechakru limso smach b'kasev. It's all we're trying to do is find an asmachta v'kol echad chakar achar smicha acheres asher yashra be'enav, and each one just tries to find the better asmachta. That's what these nine shittos were about. It wasn't about proving the halacha. The halacha doesn't need any proof. The halacha came to us from Moshe Rabbeinu. No one was questioning that. He says, how do I know that no one was questioning it? That's why the Gemara asks in Reb Lazar, no, you can't say it's mamish. Meaning, that's not a possibility. I don't care if you reject all of our proofs. It's just not possible. You're not allowed to say mamish. No rabbi is allowed to say that. V'ayinu achrei shalom atzinu shum ishi yizbarkeinu rak kulam in yichudayin tachzayin mamon v'chein ogo mekal batei dine Yisrael. We have a Masorah here. You can't just go change the halacha. In every Beis Din in the history of Klal Yisrael, it was always ayin tachzayin is mamon. So you can't come along and say it's mamish. That's why the Gemara, it's not that Reb Lazar as a Tana doesn't have the right to argue with other Tanaim. Of course he does. But there's no room for machlokas over here because this was a matter of Masorah. That's what Maritz Chai says. That's what's going on in our Gemara. So says Gemara, that's true. Rav Lazar never meant to argue with the Din. So Amar Rabba Lomar Shein Shaman also Ke'eved. No, all he meant to say was that we don't evaluate him like an Eved when we try to figure out how much his eye is worth. So Amar Le'abai El Kaman Ke'ben Chorin Ben Chorin Miyaslei Damis. What do you mean? You evaluate him like a free man? A free man has no value. There is no evaluating like a free man. So Elam Ravashi Lomar Shein Shaman also Benizik El B'mazik. No, we don't do the evaluation based on the Nizik. We do the evaluation based on the Mazik, meaning it's for sure a money payment. Question is, when figuring out the money payment, whose eye do you look at? If you look at Rashi, El B'mazik, Eino Shal Mazik Shayminan. We look at the Mazik's eye. Kamahu Shavli Machar Achshav, V'kamahu Yafa below Ayin. We don't look at what the Nizik was worth before he knocked out his eye and what he's worth now. We look at what the Mazik is worth now with his eye and what the Mazik would be worth without his eye. V'hainu Mamish Tuka Amar. And that's what he meant by Mamish. Eino Shal Mazik Nishama Tachas Eino Shal Nizik. Ayin Tachas Ayin means you're going to pay the value of your eye for what you did to his eye. That's what he means by mamish, that it's literally your eye that has to come into the case, that has to come into the equation in order for us to figure out the money payment. But for sure it's a money payment. Weiter, says the Gemara's story. There was a chamra, a donkey that went and cut off the hand of a child. So they went to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. So they said, okay, the guy's going to have to pay dala dvarim. He's going to have to pay for the nezek tzar ripoy, whatever. It's really five dvarim. That's the Gemara's next question. But he's going to pay for the four things. No, it's nezek tzar ripoy shavus boshas. It's five things. It's not four. He said, no, of course you pay Nezek. I mean, in addition to the Nezek, let him pay the other four. He says, wait a second. Isn't the idea of the Chamisha Devarim only when it's an Adam Mazik? When it's Adam that's Mazik Adam? I thought it doesn't apply when an animal damages a person. So he said, whoops, you're right. You should only pay Nezek. So what was going on over here? How did he... Rav Papa really messed up that din. It's such an easy one. He didn't know that you only pay. That Rav Papa Bar Shmuel didn't know that when a chamor damages a person, you don't pay the chamisha dvarim. Says Rashi, Haya savar da adam iziko. He didn't hear the case right. He thought that it was an adam amazik. He didn't understand that we were talking about a case of a chamor. He didn't ask. How could he not have asked? So it could be that they came into the basin and they said, a chamra kata yada diyanuka. The word chamra in Shas means three different things. It means a donkey, it means a donkey driver, and it means wine. Okay, so wine is out, right? But it could be a donkey or a donkey driver. So maybe Rav Papa was told, chamra kata yada diyanuka. He sees Nebuch, a child with his hand cut off. He can't imagine that the animal actually did it, so he assumed it was talking about an Adam. So he paskin based on the information that he assumed. And they said, no, you must be misunderstanding. Chamra over here, when we're telling you chamra, doesn't mean literally the person did it. It means the donkey itself did it. So he said, so then of course you're not going to pay dal dvarim. You're only going to pay for nezek. But don't we need to evaluate the child like an evet to figure out exactly what the damage is? He said, of course, go and evaluate him like an evet. See how much he would have been worth in the shuk without his hand cut off, and see how much he can fetch now with his hand cut off.
No, but the father doesn't want to bring his child to the slave market and see how much he can fetch for the child to do this evaluation. It's a terribly, don't you think the kid's been through enough? It's a terribly embarrassing thing to put him through. So it's nice for the father not to want to embarrass the kid, but it's the only way to get the money. So it's going to be mechayev the child who really should get the money because the father doesn't want to embarrass his family. No, the father has the right to say, when he gets older, I'll pay him. Meaning, I'd rather take the expense on myself rather than embarrass the whole family by having him go brought out to the slave market. Okay, next story. Hutura da alas yade liyinuka, a shor, an ox, chewed on the hand of a child. Asal kame de rava, amal hu zilu shay mu kaavde, so he said, go and evaluate him like an eved. Amaleva, hamar hu damar kalanishim kaavde, and govna sub bavel. I thought you're the one that tells us that that anyone who has to be evaluated like an eved, you can't collect that money in bavel. Samalu lo tshicha di tafas. Enochinami, you can't, Beisdin does not enforce collections that are based on slave market values, but if the guy is toe-face, if the guy takes the money, he takes the law into his own hands and he takes the money, we need to know if he took the right amount of money or not. So that's what Rashi says. We need to do the evaluation anyway, even though based on that evaluation, Beisdin is not going to be mechayev him to pay, just in case the guy takes it. So the guy needs to know how much he can take if he wants to take the law into his own hands. That's how Rashi understands it. The Rush disagrees. The Rush says, no, it's not that we do the evaluation now so that he can know if he wants to take the law into his own hands how much to take. It's that if he already took the law into his own hands and took the money himself, we need to know, do we confiscate that money from him? Did he take too much? Did he take the right amount? So then we do the slave market evaluations. We don't do slave market evaluations assuming someone's going to take the law into his own hands and go and be toe-faced. If someone is toe-faced, then we need to do the evaluation to know whether we can take it back. Ravel Taman, this is Ravel Lishita So, Dam Rav Niske Sharba Shar Niske Sharba Adam, Govinosa Bibavel. Shar damages a shar damages a person. We collect such money in Bavel. Niske Adam Badam and Niske Adam Bashar, but a person damages a person, or a person damages a shar, in Govinosa Bibavel. We don't collect it in Bavel. Right, Niske Sharba Adam, Rashi writes, I'm sorry, he says Niske Sharba Adam means Nizakin Shaba'u Lashar Al Yidei Adam. I said it backwards. Right, Niske Sharba Shar means Nizakin that happened to Ushar through another Shar. Niske Sharba Adam means Nizakin that happened to Ushar by an Adam. That's what Rav was saying. Rav was saying Niske Sharba Shar, Niske Sharba Adam, any damage done to a Shar, we collect in Bavel. Any damage done to an Adam, we don't collect in Bavel. Because the only way to figure out the evaluation is by evaluating him like an Eved. And we don't do that in Bavel. So since we don't do that in Bavel, any damage done to a person, you're not going to do in Bavel. So it says in Mishnah Niske Adam Badam Niske Adam Ashar Delo, why is it that when damage done to a person, we don't evaluate in Bavel? Because Elohim Be'inan Veleka. You need judges with smicha, and you don't have it. So it says in Mishnah Niske Shar B'Shar B'Shar Badam Nani Elohim Be'inan Veleka. Don't you need judges with smicha for damages done to a shor as well? Elamayshna shor b'shor b'shor ba'adam dishlich l'sayiv kavdinon mididava odos alvos. Why is it that when it comes to a shor, we do judge those cases? Because we assume, even though you need dayanim smuchim, we don't have that in Bavel, we are the shluchim of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't literally mean, according to many Rishonim, doesn't literally mean that they made us their shluchim. It means they gave us rishus. So we are, because Shluch Sai Kavdin even works intergenerationally, right? Shluch Sai Kavdin could work even after the generations of smicha are over, we still do hodas valvos because we assume shlichus sayu kaavdinan. We still assume that we're doing the shlichus. Well, they never appointed us as a shlich because we weren't born yet when they died. So how can we say shlichus sayu kaavdinan? So obviously, it doesn't mean literally a shlichus. It means that they gave rashus in order to keep society running normally. That they gave rashus for us to do this bidding. So machlokas in the achronim whether that's a din daraisa or a din darabanan. Does that mean on a daraisa level we have a right to do it, or only on a darabanan level? Have right to pashas. It sounds like something that's drabanon just to keep society going. But the Nesivus and Simon Aleph says it has to be daraisa because we use the chesayik avdinah to be megayer gerim. And if you're megayer gerim, you're treating him like a Jew l'chol dafar. So that you can't say that the gerim that we have nowadays are only gerim midrabanan. That's scandalous. That on the daraisa level, all the gerim are really gayim. That's crazy. So the Nesivus says it has to be chesayik avdinah works on a daraisa level. But anyway, the point over here is adam v'adam v'adam b'shar nami chesayik avdinah midava daos v'alvos. Why don't we judge cases of damage done to a person? also, even without judges that have proper smicha, because shlichusai kavdinan. So Amri ki avdin shlichusai b'midid dekimlan mekavei b'midid lo kimlan mekavei lo avdin shlichusai. No, we only do their shlichus when there's something that has a known value, but something that we would have to go through an evaluation process by putting them on the slave market, we don't do their shlichus. Amri sharba 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 nami lo kimlan mekavei. What are you talking about? When a shar gets damaged, you also have to do an evaluation. It's not so obvious what the payment is going to be. El pochazi hecha mizdavni torah b'shuka adam vadam vadam sharnami pochazi hecha mizdavni avdi b'shuka va'od tashlum kefil tashlum abav chamisha dekitzi nevesh l'chazayim. It says, first of all, a shar needs to be evaluated the same way an adam needs to be evaluated by taking him out to the shuk. So why is it any different? And furthermore, by adam, sometimes it is obvious when you pay dalet v'hei. I'm sorry, by shar, sometimes you pay dalet v'hei for shar. So we should be mechayiv cases of dalet v'hei, because that is something that doesn't involve any evaluation. And we don't do dalet v'hei in Bavel. So that can't be the chilek. So Amri kikav dinu shlichusayu b'mamon. B'knas lav dinu shlichusayu. No, we only do their shlichus when it comes to mamon. When it comes to knas, we don't do their shlichus. Adam ba'adam t'mamonu hu navi shlichusayu. But then Adam ba'adam, where it's an issue of mamon, it's not an issue of knas, we should be mechayiv. We should do judge these cases in Bavel. So kikav dinu shlichusayu b'mulsa d'shchicha. Adam ba'adam lo shchicha lav dinu shlichusayu. No, we only do their shlichus when it's something that's fairly common. But for people to get into a fist fight and one to damage the other, apparently is not so common. It's pretty startling, no? That's not so common for people to fight with each other. Okay, not so common. So we're not going to judge those cases. Hari boshes ubegam deshchiach navashlichusai. Okay, maybe people don't get into fist fights so much. But boshes ubegam, that's pretty common. Why don't we do the shlichus for that? Amri hachinami da Rav Papa agvi karka meazuze leboshes. Yeah, we do. In hachinami, Rav Papa used to collect money for boshes payments. So I vahalese with Rav Papa, but don't we reject Rav Papa? He sent him, how can you be collecting knasos in Bavel? Now, in order for us to do their shlichus, in order for Dayanim and Bavel to judge a case, it has to be something that is both common and involves actual monetary loss that we're trying to reimburse him for. But if you have something that's common but did not involve actual monetary loss, inami milsa de lo shchicha vispei chesrom kes, or something that's uncommon but did involve monetary loss, lo avdin shlichusayu, we're not going to do the shlichus. So when a person damages another person, so yes, there's a monetary loss, but it's not common, so we're not going to deal with it. Boshes, avagav deshchicha, embarrassment is very common. Like even the last week, son kiss, love the shlichusayu. Since there's no monetary loss, we're not going to do the shlichus. Vishar b'shar govin b'bavel. But wait a second, do we really collect money when a shar damages another shar in Bavel? Didn't Rava teach us that if a shar damages, we don't collect in Bavel? And what's Rava talking about? He must be talking about a shar damaging another shar, because da'azik man, who could the shar have damaged? Because if it's talking about a shar damaging a person, why would Rava say a case of a shar damaging a person? Even a person damaging a person, we don't collect in Bavel. El pshita da'azik shar. So Rava must be talking about a shar damaging another shar. V'ketani ain't govin osa b'bavel. And he says, we don't collect it in Bavel. So don't you see it's a stira? So Amri, hasam b'tam hachamot. No, when it's a shar tam, we don't collect it in Bavel, because that's not exactly the payment of what the damage done. You only pay chatz nezek. But by a muad, where you're paying the full nezek, that you would collect in Bavel. So because it's not a knas, obviously. So frankly, Marva ha'amar Rava ain't muad b'bavel. But didn't Rava teach us that there's no such thing as a muad in Bavel? You can't make an animal a shor muad in Bavel. No, the animal used to live in Eretz Yisrael. When it was in Eretz Yisrael, it became a shor muad. Then it came to Bavel and it did damage. So when it went to Bavel, did damage, we treat it like a shor muad. But wait a second, how common is it for a shor to move from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel? That's very uncommon. And I thought we said things that are uncommon. We don't judge those cases about things that are uncommon. So no, the case is the shor didn't move, the rabbis moved. The rabbis from Eretz Yisrael came to Bavel, and because they have smicha, they were able to make the shor a shor muad here in Bavel, and therefore that's okay. Says Gemara, sof sof, milsa lo shchicha, yivat amr milsa lo shchicha, lo kav din shchicha sayu. How often does that happen? That rabbis from Eretz Yisrael, Lev Smicha, come to Bavel and go make a shor, a shor muad, here in Bavel. That's not so common. And again, things that are not so common, we don't do the shlichus. Eliki kamarava, b'shem v'regel, d'mu'adim l'chlasen inhu. No, where did Rava say that shor shehizik, ein governos of Bavel, he's talking dafka about shem v'regel, where it's a muad mitchilasa, since it's a muad to begin with, it doesn't need to become a muad here in Bavel. And anything that would need to become a muad here in Bavel, ein ochinami, we can't do it, because it would be a milsa. Okay, we'll try to continue from there.